This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Military muscle at the border. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Tuesday, October 30th, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The U.S. is sending more than 5,000 troops to help Customs and Border Patrol agents potentially manage a caravan of migrants making its way through Mexico.
President Trump and the First Lady are due to visit Pittsburgh today in the wake of the synagogue massacre.
The man accused of sending explosive material in the mail to more than a dozen critics of President Trump reportedly had a list of more than 100 names.
And there's a new target in the recycling of plastic. Paper coffee cups.
The really surprising thing about paper cups is what people don't really realize is that there's a tightly bonded plastic lining inside of every paper cup that you drink from, and that's mainly to keep it waterproof. Otherwise, the cup would fall apart really quickly when you put your coffee or your tea in it.
Wall Street Journal reporter Sabra Chowdhury on efforts to eliminate billions of disposable cups. The U.S. military is sending 5,200 troops to the southwest border in response to a caravan of migrants from Central America. It is a major escalation of the U.S. response at the border, which as recently as last week was planned for 800 troops. A group of more than 4,000 migrants on foot is about 900 miles from the U.S. in southern Mexico, while another group of about 3,000 remains at the Guatemala-Mexico border. Kevin McAleenan is commissioner of the Customs and Border Protection.
What we saw when this group crossed the Honduras-Guatemala borders, they did it very forcefully. They pushed past the Guatemalan security forces. Even more risky was on the Guatemala-Mexico border, where it was a combination of near rioting on the bridge.
Critics of the president said the use of active-duty troops will degrade military readiness for defense abroad. The Wall Street Journal says with 2,000 National Guard members already in place, it will exceed the combined U.S. military footprint in Iraq and Syria. The man police say is responsible for the Pittsburgh synagogue massacre appeared in court shackled to a wheelchair yesterday to hear the charges against him. Robert Bowers, the man accused of murdering 11 worshipers at the Tree of Life Synagogue on Saturday, sat mostly silent before a U.S. magistrate judge who ordered him held without bond. The one-time truck driver, who frequently posted anti-Semitic material online and was described by neighbors as a loner, could face the death penalty if convicted. U.S. Attorney Scott Brady.
Bowers was armed with multiple weapons. He had three Glock, 357 handguns, and an AR-15 assault rifle. Inside the synagogue, Bowers shot and killed 11 individuals and wounded two others.
Prosecutors have said they're treating the mass shooting as a hate crime. President Trump and his wife are expected to visit Pittsburgh today to meet with officials and speak with some of the wounded in the hospital. Mr. Trump called the shooting an act of pure evil, but also said the slaying might have been prevented had an armed guard been present. The Florida man suspected of sending suspicious packages to critics of President Trump has made his first court appearance as another suspicious package was discovered. 56-year-old Cesar Sayoc faces five federal charges and could get 48 years in prison if convicted. His attorney is Daniel Aronson.
He is innocent until proven guilty, and nobody has proven him guilty of sending those devices in the mail.
Meanwhile, another suspicious package was intercepted yesterday in Atlanta, addressed to CNN headquarters. It would be at least the 15th potentially explosive device Mr. Sayoc is accused of mailing.
His fingerprint. It's a preliminary finding, so it's not a positive identification yet.
CBS News says Mr. Sayoc had a list of more than 100 others in his van when he was captured. The list included mostly politicians and media figures. Investigators say Mr. Sayoc's van was his home and bomb lab. Authorities say none of the devices had a trigger mechanism, and Mr. Sayoc says he never intended to harm anyone. It's 10 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Topics that have consumed Washington: the confirmation of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh and the probe into Russian interference in the last presidential election are barely a blip in political advertising this year. President Trump and House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi, meanwhile, are featured in tens of thousands of ads. Wall Street Journal national political reporter Julie Bykowitz has been looking at the data. Julie, what have you found?
Well, the bottom line is that both President Trump and Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi are turning up in quite a bit of midterms advertising. Specific to President Trump, we found that he is only topped by two other issues in midterms advertising, and that's health care and taxes. So he ranks as number three in most common sort of themes in midterms advertising.
All right. And then in terms of those themes, he is portrayed sometimes positively and sometimes negatively.
That's right. There's a surprising amount of positive Trump ads out there. We found that even in some Democratic Senate ads, he's turning up in a positive or supportive way. And that's seen in places like Indiana and West Virginia, where the Democratic senator is trying to hold on to a seat in a state that Trump won quite a bit in 2016. So you hear types of advertising like in Indiana, Senator Joe Donnelly saying, "When he's for Hoosiers, I'm with him." And another ad in West Virginia has a candidate, you know, kind of saying, "I work with President Trump when he does what's right for West Virginia." So there's some supportive tones in that type of advertising. One thing that really interested me about this data was we found that although you would think that President Trump, you know, with his lower than typical favorability ratings and how much he dominates the news, would be just blowing things out of the water in terms of negative advertising, President Obama actually far and away surpassed him as a sort of villain in advertising back in 2014 in the midterms during his presidency. And that year, 50% of all Republican ads were anti-Obama. And so for comparative purposes, Trump opposition type ads make up just 15% of Democratic ads.
Oh, how about that? And then speaking of Democrats, for Nancy Pelosi, practically all the ads have a negative reference to her?
Really difficult to find anything positive about Nancy Pelosi in advertising, and that carries from not just Republican advertising, but even Democratic advertising. You saw that a little bit here and there during the Democratic primary races, and we found that, you know, about 9%, 8-9% of all ads out there have a sort of an anti-Pelosi message. So that really shows that Republicans have found her to be a very effective sort of negative salesperson for the Democratic Party.
Yeah. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal national political reporter Julie Bykowitz about her story entitled "Trump and Pelosi Dominate Ads Aimed at Rallying and Repelling Voters." How about the Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh? Where does that come in anywhere?
Yeah, so, you know, interestingly, two of the biggest news stories of the past couple of months here, the controversial confirmation of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, and then the ongoing Russia probe, Robert Mueller taking a look at the ways that Russia may have interfered in the presidential race. And of course, that has wrapped up President Trump and many of his associates in terms of being questioned about it. But those two sort of hot headlines are barely making any waves at all in advertising this year. Just a teeny tiny fraction of a percent of all the political ads have anything to do with Russia. And then on the Supreme Court, despite hearing, you know, quite a bit from both sides that this was going to be such a galvanizing event for voters in both of the parties, less than 2% of all the advertising is mentioning anything at all about the Supreme Court.
Thanks, Julie. Wall Street Journal national political reporter Julie Bykowitz. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
President Trump and First Lady Melania will visit Pittsburgh today after the weekend synagogue massacre that left 11 people dead. The trip announcement came as Robert Bowers, who is accused of killing 8 men and 3 women inside the Tree of Life synagogue in the Pittsburgh area, appeared in federal court yesterday. U.S. Attorney Scott Brady says Bowers was charged with 29 federal counts counts that include obstructing the free exercise of religious belief resulting in death and using a firearm to commit murder.
There's no indication that he's working with anyone else. And so we have charged it and are treating it as a hate crime.
Bauer shot his victims with an AR-15 and three Glock handguns. Authorities say he expressed hatred of Jews during the deadly rampage and later told police officers that they are committing genocide to my people. I just want to kill Jews. Authorities say the man suspected of sending a batch of pipe bombs to opponents of President Trump apparently had other targets in mind. Cesar Sayoc kept a list of elected officials and others who investigators believe were potential targets. Even as Sayoc yesterday made his first court appearance since his arrest last week, another suspicious package turned up. Bomb squads were called to an Atlanta post office to check out a package sent to CNN. Attorney Daniel Aronson is representing Sayoc.
Learning all the facts and seeing all the information, that's my greatest concern. Once we know that, then we can proceed forward and analyze it and evaluate. But right now, we know very, very, very little.
Investigators say they have recovered soldering equipment, a printer, and stamps like those used on the package bombs. Gunshot wounds put an average of 8,300 U.S. kids in the hospital every year. A new analysis from Johns Hopkins University finds that close to half of them were shot on purpose. Another 40% were shot accidentally. Some concerning news: if you let your very young kids play with smartphone apps, a study from the University of Michigan finds that many of the apps aimed at preschoolers manipulate the youngsters to watch ads or make in-app purchases. The researchers analyzed the content of 135 apps and found 95% of them included at least one type of advertising, some of which are embedded in games or activities.
Yeah, and the kids are not probably discerning.
No.
The ads from in-game activities. 95% of those analyzed? Holy cow. Hey, welcome back, by the way.
Thank you.
How was the world's largest cocktail party?
It was, yes, it was good.
Georgia versus Florida.
It was lots of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you smoke weed when you drink? Or
no.
Is this, no.
It's just a lot of drinking. And people rent their own porta potties.
Is
this
that
was
right?
Something new. I've never seen anything like it in my life. They had their own at their own tailgates.
What?
Yeah. It says private on them, and they rent them. It's 1-800-TOILETS, honestly.
Wow. Mm-hmm. 23 minutes now after the hour. Glad you're with us. The stock market in recent weeks has been very volatile, and that has raised fear and anxiety levels. But the things that really should worry Americans aren't always obvious. Here's what people seem to fear financially and what they probably should spend more time worrying about. According to Russ Wiles, personal finance columnist at the Arizona Republic, Russ, explain.
The stock market being an obvious one, you know, we've had a long run. Prices have been, you know, stocks have been slammed the last couple weeks. Lots of big red ink numbers, but you got to remember that, you know, cyclicality is part of the equation, and and realistically, I think the bigger issue for long term investors is actually inflation, which can really erode your returns, particularly if you're in low risk investments. And stocks, conversely, really do provide a good cushion against inflation. They've really beat inflation over time, and I would expect that to continue.
Yeah, even though those headlines on perhaps a day-to-day basis about stock market swings can be spooky, as you reference.
Absolutely. I mean, you just got to keep it into context. And remember, we've had a huge run-up, over 300% over the last 10 years in the market. So naturally, when a correction or whatever sets in, it's going to feel scary. The numbers on the downside are going to be big, but you know, if you look at it, you know, holistically or longer term, I don't think it's such a problem. Particularly if you are, you know, someone who's dollar cost averaging or seeking to rebalance your portfolio, you know, these downdrafts can be very positive, actually.
Yeah. All right. How about inflation here?
Well, I mean, that's what inflation cuts is a bugaboo in a lot of ways. But I think lately there's been concern about, you know, rising interest rates, rising inflation. That's certainly bad for bond prices, and it could, the higher interest rates, the higher interest inflation also could break the economy, slow us down. But at the same time, I mean, I think you have to realize that inflation and interest rates both are very low, still coming off of very low levels. And for savers, people who have been depositors, people who have kept their money in various ultra-safe bank deposit accounts for the last decade, they are benefiting from a little bit higher interest rates and higher inflation. So in that sense, I think, this uptrend we've had is actually good news.
Yeah. We're speaking with Russ Wiles, personal finance columnist at the Arizona Republic, part of the USA Today network. He's written a piece entitled Things People Seem to Fear Financially Are Not Always Worth Worrying About. What was the point you made, too, about Social Security solvency?
Well, I mean, that's been in the news lately, and there are a lot of, I mean, any expert you talk to who covers Social Security will recommend people hold off on claiming their benefits as long as they can, you know. Certainly past age 62, when, you know, people can first claim, some people are claiming earlier than they need to out of a fear that Social Security will go bust, and it won't.
We can only hope. Thanks, Russ. Russ Wiles, personal finance columnist at the Arizona Republic. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Catch America's First News online anytime at ThisMorningWithGordonDeal.com.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday, October 30th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. 5,200 troops being sent to the southern border to help with the migrant caravan. The president visits a grieving Pittsburgh today. Package bomb suspect had more than 100 names as targets. Apple rumored to be rolling out its next iPad today. Patriots over the Bills in Monday Night Football. Meanwhile, the NFL trade deadline is this afternoon. And the cafeteria worker who writes encouraging messages to students. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors know there's nothing small about your business. They provide one-on-one partnership and reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors to get business done. The growing backlash against plastic waste has a new target: paper coffee cups. Paper cups for years were hailed as a more environmentally friendly option than plastic foam, but paper cups are attracting new scrutiny because they contain a tightly bonded plastic lining that needs to be separated before the paper can be recycled. It's a story by Wall Street Journal reporter Sabara Chowdhury. Sabara, what's trending?
The really surprising thing about paper cups is what people don't really realize is that there's a tightly bonded plastic lining inside of every paper cup that you drink from, and that's mainly to keep it waterproof. Otherwise, the cup would fall apart really quickly when you put your coffee or your tea in it. And what we've discovered is while people thought putting a paper cup just into a regular recycling bin was going to result in it being recycled, what ended up happening is most of those cups actually went into landfill because a regular paper mill does not actually have the technology to separate the plastic lining from the paper. And so those cups were just being tossed out.
Wow. All right. So in an ideal world, are you supposed to be recycling your paper or cardboard, what we think of a coffee cup, into a plastic recycling bin?
No. So in an ideal world, a paper cup that contains a plastic lining actually needs to be recycled separately. And so that's where the big problem has been. We haven't had the infrastructure either in the U.S. or in Europe so far to have separate collection bins for coffee cups. And if they aren't collected separately, they're not going to be trucked out to those separate facilities to be recycled. And so that's where the big problem has been. So what you really want to do is, if you buy a takeaway coffee at your local Starbucks, maybe keep it and then on your way home from work, you know, drop it off there, because they actually do have bins and they do collect these cups to take them for specialist recycling.
Wow. Okay.
There's also many other places, train stations, airports. You'll probably start to see it in some cities as well that are rolling out special bins for coffee cup recycling. We actually have one here at the Journal that just showed up a couple of weeks ago, and it's specifically for us to recycle coffee cups.
How about that? How problematic are coffee cups, by the way?
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I'd say they're relatively small. The biggest contributors to ocean waste are things like fishing gear that kind of is just, you know, the fishing nets, for instance, that fishermen tend to leave behind, or they fall off boats and then they end up floating in the ocean for many, many years and continuing to trap marine life. But I think this is it's maybe less about the actual environmental impact compared to some other products, and more about the fact that coffee has become such a widespread product that I think consumer awareness about the waste that they're leaving behind is much higher than it was before. But it's a relatively small culprit in the grand scheme of things, I'd argue.
But we're also drinking more coffee than ever, right? That's on the rise.
Exactly. So it's small compared to some other products, but it's been growing exponentially. The waste has been growing exponentially, exactly because of what you just said. The number of coffee shops has gone up so much that the number of takeaway coffee cups we've been using have really skyrocketed. I mean, 25 years ago, most people were probably making their coffee at home, drinking it at home, and then going to work. And now we have this complete on-the-go culture where people are drinking coffee, tea, bottled water at all times, many times during the day, and then just tossing that stuff into a bin and assuming somebody else is taking care of it.
Mm. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Sabra Chowdhury. She covers consumer goods and retail, and we're talking about her piece entitled "A New Target in the Fight Against Plastic: Paper Cups." All right, so who else is taking steps here to try to address this?
So it's everybody from regulators to companies to environmental groups. So there is new regulation. I would say Europe is really leading kind of the charge on this. And there was new EU regulation. The European Parliament actually just last week came out and said, okay, we're going to approve proposed rules to cut down on plastic waste. And one of the things that they mentioned was actually these paper cups that have plastic linings in them. So they've suggested that member states actually set reduction targets or maybe even charge a fee for takeaway cups. And then Starbucks, in a world first, just this past summer, actually started charging the equivalent of a 7-cent fee for people in the UK who are now, you know, taking coffee cups away. You now have to pay a small fee on top of your coffee to actually have that cup. And they're doing it because they're trying to shift consumer behavior, get more people to either stay in and drink your coffee or just bring your own cup.
Thanks, Sabra. Wall Street Journal reporter Sabra Chowdhury from London. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you're a Buffalo Bills fan heading out to the Monday night football game against the New England Patriots, you, of course, can't show up without some sort of signage telling the world how much you dislike your AFC East rival. But sometimes you don't have a lot of time to go to the arts and crafts store and get super creative, so maybe you just print up something at work on your way out the door. That's what it looks like one Bills fan whose low-tech sign was caught by the ESPN cameras resorted to. The sign, printed on a well-worn piece of 8.5x11 white copy paper, read simply, "The Patriots cheat," in all caps. The message wasn't even centered on the paper, which made the sign look like the ultimate rush job, though USA Today speculates that maybe this isn't a sign at all, but rather a message this fan carries around in his back pocket all the time, just in case somebody brings up the Patriots in his day-to-day life.
The fact that they found this on just an 8.5x11 piece of paper you'd pull out of your copy machine is astounding.
Yes. It looks like he put very little time into it, but he just couldn't show up at the stadium without something.
Right.
You know, just in case he got on camera.
It was clearly tucked in his pocket because it's got the fold marks. I'm looking at it.
Yeah,
and then it's also curled, like in the bottom left corner.
Right.
So, like, that might have made his way into a jacket pocket also, instead of just like your pants pocket, where it might have been preserved.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Or worse yet, he printed it up like at the beginning of the day and it just kind of had been sitting in his pocket all day long, you know, through lunch and everything.
Or maybe even spilled coffee on it.
Right.
That might be some water damage down there at the bottom.
And good news, Gordon. It's okay to dress up your chicken for Halloween after all. You might remember we told you last week that the Centers for Disease Control had issued a warning telling people not to dress up their chickens in costumes for the holiday, citing fears of salmonella contamination. But now, the CDC is saying that the report originally put out by ABC News is false. The CDC issued a statement to clarify that despite news reports to the contrary, officials have not warned people against dressing live chickens in Halloween costumes.
That sounds like a phrase for fake news,
by the way. Yeah. I didn't want to put that in here, but
despite
that's kind of
news
what this,
reports to the contrary.
Yes. CDC didn't want to drop the fake news bomb,
right.
But I think that's kind of what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Some other strict warnings do remain, however. Pet owners should never kiss your birds or snuggle them and then touch your face or mouth. Also, children under 5 shouldn't touch chickens. The birds should never be brought into the house. No one should eat or drink around the chickens, and people must always wash their hands after touching a chicken. See, I feel like there might be just a little bit of semantics going on here. I think what they're saying is it's fine to dress up your chicken, but you shouldn't be kind of like, people shouldn't be interacting so much with your chicken. I think that's what we're saying. Because people, what we reported, you know, this was the ABC News report that we cited when we talked about this, was people were bringing them out trick-or-treating with them, right? So kind of carrying them around, and then kids come up and they think they're cute, they want to touch them and that kind of thing. So, of course, dress them up all you want, but just be careful when you have people touch them. I think that's really what the situation is here.
And also to clarify, the CDC is not encouraging you to dress up your chicken. It's merely saying, it did not say not to dress up your chicken.
But I don't think that's how people are taking this. Chicken owners, I think they're taking this as, woohoo! We're going to dress up our chickens.
By the way, I think the best way to dress up your chicken was a nice marinade on the grill. You know, with
a little barbecue sauce.
Partnered with an Oregon Pinot Noir or something. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. How about this bit of good news? There is a late night snack that's actually good for you. A study in the British Journal of Nutrition finds that consuming 30 grams of protein about 30 minutes before going to bed appears to have a positive effect on muscle quality, metabolism, and overall health. The participants in the study were active young women in their early 20s. They ate samples of cottage cheese 30 to 60 minutes before bed. The lead researchers say this is one of the first nutrition studies where participants consumed a whole food as opposed to a protein shake or some form of supplement. Meanwhile, Americans who are keeping tabs on their weight might do well to watch the clock. Sweet snacks such as candy, chocolate, and ice cream peak in the evening just after 8 p.m. Snacks that are considered better for you, such as nuts, vegetable slices, or fruits, peak around noon, followed by a slightly smaller rise in savory and sweet snacks at that time of day. The popularity of certain snacks is also related to particular holidays as much as the time of day. Sweet snack consumption spikes in November thanks to Halloween leftovers. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to the man charged in the Pittsburgh synagogue massacre, appeared in court shackled to a wheelchair yesterday as some Jewish leaders and the mayor objected to President Trump's planned visit to the city on the first day of funerals for the victims. Robert Bowers, the man accused of shooting and killing 11 worshipers at the Tree of Life Synagogue on Saturday, sat stony-faced and mostly silent before a judge who ordered him held without bond in the deadliest attack ever on the country's Jewish community. U.S. Attorney Scott Brady.
Bowers was armed with multiple weapons. He had three Glock, 357 handguns, and an AR-15 assault rifle. Inside the synagogue, Bowers shot and killed 11 individuals and wounded two others.
The one-time truck driver who frequently posted anti-Semitic material online was charged with 29 of federal felony counts. Pipe bomb suspect Cesar Sayoc made his first appearance before a federal judge in Miami as law enforcement sources revealed that he kept a list of more than 100 potential targets. The 56-year-old had his hands cuffed in his lap during the hearing before the judge. He has been charged with 5 federal crimes connected to his alleged mailing of 14 pipe bombs to a wide variety of people who have been critical of President Trump. The Pentagon says it's sending 5,200 troops to the southwest border in an extraordinary military operation ordered up just a week before midterm elections, in which President Trump has put a sharp focus on Central American migrants moving north in a slow-moving group that are still hundreds of miles from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Kevin McAleen.
We will not allow a large group to enter the U.S. unlawfully. We will maintain lawful trade and travel to the greatest extent possible. We will act in accordance with the highest principles of law enforcement.
The number of troops being deployed is more than double the 2,000 who are in Syria fighting ISIS. Klay Thompson has broken teammate Steph Curry's NBA record for three-pointers in a game with his 14th during a brilliant offensive performance by the Golden State Warriors. Tim Roy on 95.7 The Game.
Right side, Klay takes a dribble. Now the three. Got it! An NBA record for Klay Thompson. 14 threes.
Warriors went on to beat the Bulls 149-124.
Hey, Clay, did you ever consider passing to a teammate?
they purposely wanted him to get the record. They just gave it to him. Shoot.
Guy, his arms are tired from shooting. Like, fatigue set in late in the game.
149.
Wow. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. A cafeteria manager is changing her students' lives for the better at an elementary school in Virginia Beach, Virginia. writing empowering and uplifting messages on bananas being offered in the school cafeteria. Fox News says Stacey Truman has held the position at Kingston Elementary for 9 years, but recently decided to start making the talking bananas, as the kids call them, to encourage the students. She says she does it for her kids at her home, and she considers the students at school kind of like her kids. The bananas have several motivational messages like never give up, you are loved, and keep trying, among others. Ms. Truman told WTKR Television that most of the messages she came up with herself. She would just think about what you'd tell a kid or what you'd want to hear yourself. The gesture did not just have an impact on the children, however. School principal Sharon Shoebridge saw the bananas and posted a picture of the fruit on Twitter, where it started receiving viral attention. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.